preacher went over to one of the members' houses to make a visit, and it was obvious that somebody was home, but when he knocked, nobody answered the door, and so the preacher left his card there, and he wrote Revelation 3 and verse 20, and that, of course, says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Well, at the next service, the member came up to the preacher and handed him his business card back, and the preacher noticed that that member had written Genesis 3 and verse 10 below the verse he had written, and out of curiosity, he turned his Bible to Genesis 3 and verse 10, and it reads, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I went and hid myself." Well, that kind of introduces our thoughts today about our Christian apparel. Am I wearing my Christian apparel? You know, sometimes we find in the headlines of newspapers or magazines or even websites, some people have published embarrassing pictures about some celebrity or some famous person wearing their undergarments or some other embarrassing way, and many people would consider such pictures to be humiliating. And the reason that these kind of photos would even make the news to begin with is because of the embarrassment, the shame that is associated with such. And certainly none of us today would want to be the subject of those kinds of pictures in any publication, because most people have some form of modesty and they wouldn't think of being seen in public in their undergarments. Now that's not exactly what I want to talk with you about today. Our sermon today is not about modesty as you might think, although it's definitely about wearing our Christian apparel. You know, we hear the phrase sometimes, we understand the concept, you need to dress for success. I think about one successful entrepreneur who said that, "I always wear great clothes. Even if I go on vacation somewhere, you won't find me in my flip-flops or my jeans or my t-shirt. I always wear great clothes because you never know who you might meet." In other words, this particular entrepreneur wanted to dress for success. And today I want to talk about how we as Christians likewise need to dress for success. If I want to be a light that shines in the world today, if I want to bring glory and honor to God by my life, I need to think about this concept of dressing for success. Now in our scripture reading this morning that we just heard, John described Christians as wearing white robes before the throne of God. And I think there's something very significant and important about them wearing white robes, because their garments were symbolic of their righteous lives. Now, they were not righteous because of their own deeds. They weren't righteous in and of themselves. They were righteous because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ that had cleansed them of their sins. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing them of their sins, they were wearing white robes, and they were also living righteous lives in response to the fact that Jesus had shed his blood and given his life on their behalf. And one day all of us are going to stand before God in judgment, and the spiritual garments that we wear now are going to be the garments that we wear before the Lord. And so I'm going to ask you a question this morning as we look at our text, Ephesians chapter 4, and I hope you'll turn there to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. I ask you this question: am I wearing my Christian apparel? And in this particular passage, Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, what Paul is talking about here in this passage is our Christian apparel. He's not talking about the cottons or the knits that we cover our fleshly bodies with, but he's talking about the Christian qualities. He's talking about the Christian apparel that one is to clothe their inward person with. Am I wearing my Christian apparel? A few years ago, a cosmetic company, they sponsored a promotion in which people were invited to submit pictures and letters about the most beautiful women they knew. Thousands upon thousands of letters and pictures were sent in to this cosmetic company, the most beautiful women they knew. But one particular letter from a young boy captured a lot of attention. And this particular letter was shown to the president of the company, and from what he wrote, it was obvious that this little boy was from a broken home. He was living with his father, living in an old, run-down neighborhood. But this is what the boy wrote. He said, a beautiful woman lives down the street from me. I visit her every day. She makes me feel like the most important kid in the world. We play checkers, and she reads me stories, and she looks out for me. And whenever I leave her house, she always yells out the door that she's very proud of me. He enclosed her picture, and he wrote, this picture shows you she is the most beautiful woman. Well, very intrigued, the president of this cosmetic company asked the secretary to see the woman's picture, and his secretary handed him a photograph of a smiling, almost toothless woman with sparse gray hair, well advanced in years, sitting in a wheelchair. And the president of the cosmetic company remarked with a smile, we can't use this entry because it would show the world that, you know, our products really aren't necessary to be beautiful. And he's right. You can put all the makeup on a person that you want. You can dress in the finest clothes that money can buy. You can spend hours and hours trying to get your hair just right. But if you neglect the inward man, the inward person, then true beauty will never be yours. Now, our world today is full of ugly people. Statistics show that one out of every three people is ugly. So you can look to your left and to your right and maybe try to figure out who that is. But, you know, I'm not talking about, when I say ugly people, our world being full of ugly people, I'm not talking about physical qualities right now. I'm talking about the qualities of the inward man. That's what Paul is discussing here in Ephesians chapter 4. He's talking about the ugly qualities of bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and bitterness and malice. He says, these things ought to be put away from among you. But I want you to notice today in this passage that there are three qualities that Paul notes that he emphasizes that ought to make up the apparel of every Christian man or woman. And if any of these qualities happen to be lacking in my life, then I'm really not dressed to stand before the throne of judgment. Because you see, all three of these qualities are essential to having our robes white in the eyes of God. And to me, these are very, very challenging concepts. You know, oftentimes people will say to the preacher, you know, after a sermon, "Man, you sure stepped on my toes today." Well, this lesson may cause me to lose some toenails today. It's something that is very challenging. It's challenging for me personally, and I think it's challenging for all of us. But these are some things we need to think about. You know, we see people all around us every day that are bitter and angry. Angry because maybe the world has not given them enough. People are angry because they feel like that, you know, God just hasn't treated them fairly. They're angry at their spouses because, you know, they're not seeing that their marriage is everything that they expected it to be. People are angry at their children. They're angry at their neighbors. They're angry at their job. They're just angry people. We hear often those stories about road rage and some of the terrible things that happen as a result of that. And so Paul here gives a spiritual survival message. And that survival message is basically this: if you want to make it to heaven, you need to live like your heavenly Father. You know, Paul just led a beautiful song. I don't know if it was intentional because of the lesson, but it goes along so well with what we're talking about. Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer, loving, forgiving, gentle, and kind. And so if we want to make it to heaven, we have to be like our Father who is in heaven. And then in the very next verse, he gives a divine prescription. To get rid of your hostility, to get rid of your anger, your unwholesome words, you do this: be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I hope you caught that. The three ingredients in getting rid of hostility, to getting rid of anger, is number one, be kind one to another. Number two, be tender-hearted, that is, be compassionate. And number three, be forgiving of each other. And so these are the three essential garments that make up the Christian's apparel. I ask you, as I ask myself, are you wearing your Christian garments right now? First of all, today, are you kind? The Bible says, be kind one to another. We look at our world today, and I think it's obvious that kindness is almost a lost art. So many people around us today are rude and hateful and ungrateful. And I suppose that's true in part because we live in a time when people have so many things and services. We live in a time of entitlement when we feel like that, you know, people just owe us certain things and we deserve certain things, and therefore we expect things to be in a certain way. And whenever they're not, we have no problem with letting everyone around us know why. You see, we become a very self-centered and selfish people. To the point maybe we become even desensitized by our selfish attitudes. We don't even realize that we are selfish. It's, you know, my space, my time, what I want, my desires, my things, how this affects me. Is it going to inconvenience me? You know, even people today, when they choose a church, if they move somewhere, you know, what's in it for me? It's not what I can do for others. What's in it for me? And one of the tragic results of this is that many people have lost the trait of kindness. A preacher friend of mine, a good friend, was at an airport. He was going to a place to speak, and when he got up to the car rental place, he noticed a literal mob of people around this poor little girl trying to take care of everybody's needs with car rentals. And oh, they were being mean and ugly and rude to her. Something had happened, and the cars that were promised were not available. And it was obvious that this girl was just being bombarded. And she didn't know what to do. And when it kind of settled down just a little bit, the preacher went up to her and said, "I know you're having a hard time today, but I want you to know that, you know, you're doing the best you can, and that's all you can do. And whenever everything is straightened out, it'll be okay. So just hang in there." Well, the preacher went and took his seat. In just a minute, the girl called his name, and she said, "What's your name?" And he introduced himself. He said, "Well, sir, I've got a car just for you." And lo and behold, it wasn't just the car that he had rented. It was a tremendous upgrade. She took note of his kindness and said, "I'm going to give you a car that I'm not really even supposed to give you. These other people have made me feel bad, and you were kind, and I'm going to reward you for that." Preacher said, "You don't have to do that." She said, "I am." You see, kindness and kind words can go a long way. I want you to notice what the Bible says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. He said, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice," which means a desire to injure, "living in envy, hateful," that is detest for someone or something, "and hating one another." I want you to notice Paul said, "For we ourselves were once living like this." There's some interesting points here. This was addressed specifically to Christians. It's a strange subject, isn't it, for Christians to think about. You know, Christians would never be involved in those kinds of activities, would they? Would a Christian ever be involved in being disobedient or being deceived or being selfish and self-centered, living in malice, a desire to injure somebody? Would a Christian ever live in an attitude of hate, detesting someone or something? But Paul went on to say that he included himself in this description. He said, "For we ourselves." See, at one time, those things describe the character of the Apostle Paul. You remember Paul before his conversion to Christ, how that he hated the church. Paul hated Christians. He sought to hurt the church any way that he could. He would bind men and women, sending them to prison. Paul was even responsible for taking the life of New Testament Christians. But then thirdly, notice that these activities were describing the past qualities of Christians. In other words, these qualities are no longer to be the traits of those who've left the world and have come to Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible describes Christians as being a new creation. All things are made new. The old things have been passed away. But then I want you to notice the next verse, Titus 3 and verse 4. "But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared." In other words, something changed in their lives when they obeyed the gospel. You see, it's only because of the kindness and mercy of God that they could be saved. You know, if God reacted to us the way we react to one another, you know, God would have washed His hands of us who are the scum of the earth a long time ago. We were not worthy of His time. We were not worthy of His interest and love. We are nothing in God's sight. as we compare ourselves to Him. And I'm thankful God didn't react to me and to you the way we often react to one another. But instead, the Bible says He reached out in love to save us. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God will accept nothing less than that kind of kindness being reciprocated to those with whom we come into contact with. Kindness. Are you a kind person? Kindness is one of the three spiritual garments that Christians have to wear if their robes are going to be white. Secondly, though, are you tender-hearted? The Bible says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. The word tender-hearted is the word from which we get our word compassionate. To be compassionate means that we sympathize with other people. Now, one who is hard-hearted cannot sympathize with other people. They do not operate by the law of kindness. They operate by the law of selfishness. I think they would be represented well by the priest and the Levite and the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you recall how that the priest and the Levite, who were the religious leaders of the day, they saw a man who had been literally beaten almost to death. A man in great need. They were the religious leaders. They were supposed to be setting the example that others could follow. But what did they do? Well, they showed their selfishness. They showed that they really didn't care. They showed a lack of kindness and compassion as they saw that man in need and just simply ignored it and passed by on the other side. You see, their words and deeds are filtered through the funnel of self-interest. Now, one who is a Christian can never forget the garment of kindness and compassion. You see, that's where it starts. In a family torn by strife and argument, Christian, you are to be kind and compassionate one to another. In a business where the rule seems to be dog-eat-dog, Christian, you are to be kind and compassionate one to another. In a community and in a nation where one race is pitted against another race, Christian, you are to be kind and compassionate one to another. In a world that is often torn asunder by deep and long-standing hatreds, Christians are to be kind and compassionate one to another. I think all of us long for peace. We want real peace, lasting peace. But I am convinced that there will never be such peace as long as the Prince of Peace is either ignored or unknown. Christian, we are to be kind. We are to be compassionate one to another. You consider Jesus Christ, our perfect example, the one in whose steps we are to follow. Oftentimes in the pages of the four gospel accounts, we find the words about Jesus. He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. Am I today moved by compassion? Has my spiritual heart perhaps grown a little bit calloused and hard? Do I tend to judge people and the situations that people may find themselves in by my own standards? Or do I exemplify a genuine heart of compassion? But the third piece of clothing that we as Christians must clothe ourselves with is forgiveness. Are you a forgiving person? Listen to what Paul says. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, we look it over at Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. And there Paul says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, put on kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man has a quarrel against any." Do we? Do we have a quarrel against somebody? Are we at odds with somebody? Maybe on the job or in the church or at school. If any man has a quarrel against any, the Bible says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so the third garment that Christians must wear in their apparel is forgiveness. Now, I don't think it's by accident here that forgiveness is really listed last, because we really can't forgive somebody until, first of all, we've learned to be kind and compassionate. The wife of a Zulu chief happened to attend a meeting of Christians, and this wife of this Zulu chief happened to hear the very first time about Jesus Christ and the message of God that loves us and forgives our sins. And this was something completely new for this lady to consider. She had never heard of such a God before. And it wasn't long until she became a Christian as well. And when her husband, the chief, heard about this, he angrily forbade her on pain of death to ever attend any Christian meeting again. However, she was eager to learn more about Jesus, and she dared to go anyway. And when her husband found out that she had went to the meeting anyway, he met her on the trail. He beat her so severely and savagely that he left her for dead. But it wasn't long until, you know, curiosity got the better of him, and he wanted to be sure that, you know, his deed was done right. So he went back where he had left her, but he did not find her on the trail. But he did see broken twigs, and he saw other signs that indicated that she had crawled away. And following them, he found her lying on a bush. And very hatefully, he asked her, "And just what is your Jesus Christ doing for you right now?" And she looked at him the very best she could, and she gently said, "He's helping me to learn how to forgive you." You see, Paul said, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." And so today, brother and sister in Christ, I want to ask you, are you wearing your Christian garments? Are your robes white? Could it be today that maybe your spiritual garments are stained with ugliness, maybe hatefulness, resentment, being critical? Maybe they're clothed in bitterness and anger and wrath. Paul said, "Let all bitterness, let all wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among you with all malice." I wonder if we can behave like that today. I wonder this morning if maybe we need the kindness of God. I wonder if maybe we need to receive His mercy and His grace. Because you see, in God's eyes, it doesn't matter what we may have done. It doesn't matter what we may have said. God will always receive us back with open arms. And that's why He expects us to reciprocate that by doing that to other people. And so it may be the case this morning that there's one here who needs to obey the gospel. Maybe you need the love and kindness and mercy and grace of our Lord. And maybe you need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and know the love of God that passeth all knowledge. Have your sins washed away, and then clothe yourself with those garments that will make you as one who's righteous before God. Or maybe you're a Christian here this morning and you've taken off that Christian apparel. Maybe you put back on these garments of the world, and maybe the beauty that was once inside of you has faded away. This morning we offer the Lord's invitation with confidence because we know that God is waiting to see what you're going to do with His love. And so this morning, if you need to come, we ask that you come now while we